really interesting to hear the last presentation, because we have a lot of alignment in terms of our findings here. I was told that I need to let you know that I have no relationships to disclose, so there it is, and I'm going to follow a standard outline here. So despite a series of national-level initiatives from the NIH, FDA, CMS, et cetera, to improve participation for ethnic minorities in clinical research, they remain underrepresented. And this limited participation influences a number of things, including generalizability of research findings, accuracy of ethnicity-specific subgroup analyses, the relevance of new therapeutics and drugs in terms of efficacy and side effect profiles, because these populations are not included in the original research, then these findings can be questionable. And ultimately, equity in terms of provision of health care for all people. So there are several barriers that exist for both researchers and participants that have already been identified. So for researchers, barriers include lack of knowledge about minority cultures, about making recruitment materials culturally and linguistically concordant in order to reach minority participants. For minority participants, barriers include psychological ones such as mistrust, fear, logistical issues, childcare, schedule conflicts, transportation challenges, as well as educational barriers such as lack of effective information about clinical research processes, as well as about particular trials that they can participate in. So we decided to do this lit review, the systematic lit review, because we found that a lot of the research that's there is focused on African Americans. And there are other minorities growing at a fast rate, and the health disparities are also growing in these populations, especially with the increase in aging. And so we thought it was important to identify shared and unique barriers and facilitators to participation across multiple groups so that, you know, we can develop recruitment materials and approaches that are culturally and linguistically appropriate that can be leveraged across groups. So if there are shared ones, then it sort of makes sense to do that. So moving on to methods. We asked the following question. Among African Americans, Latinos, Asians, and Pacific Islander populations, what are the experienced or perceived barriers and facilitators to participating in health research? And we defined health research as health-related research involving human participation in clinical trials, clinical research, and behavioral health interventions. We used the following databases, PubMed and Web of Science. And our inclusion criteria were only English articles published in the U.S. between 2000 and 2011, including these four communities, and containing participants' perceptions of barriers and facilitators of health research participation. So we did find some articles that had staff and PI perceptions, but we did not include those articles. We screened 143 records, and 44 articles were included in the review. So here's table one is a distribution of articles by method and target population. On the left-hand side, you'll see the methods. There we had 23 qualitative articles we found, so that was 52% of the articles, 16 quantitative and 5 mixed methods. And on the bottom row, you'll see that 16 of the articles were focused on African Americans only, 6 were on Asian Americans, 3 were Latino, and 1 was Pacific Islander. And then we had 18 articles that were on 2 or more of these ethnic groups. Table 2 is a distribution of articles by health condition. And you'll see, again, on the bottom row that 14 of these articles were on non-specific conditions, 11 on cancer, 11 on HIV, and 8 on other. So the non-specific conditions were often referred to as medical research or hypothetical research, so not a specific health condition. And others were conditions like Alzheimer's, kidney disease, et cetera. Table 3 is a table of shared barriers to health research participation across these groups. And you'll see on the left-hand column is a number of barriers. And mistrust was the most common barrier. 77% of the articles referred to mistrust, followed by competing demands, which is about 50%. fear of unintended consequences, followed by stigma, which was related to the kind of condition that was being studied, finally lack of information about research process. In terms of shared facilitators to help participation across these groups, cultural congruence was the number one facilitator, and I'll say more about what that meant. Altruism was the second one, helping family and community. But if you go down that column, you'll see there's another altruism, moving scientific knowledge forward, but that was not as common a facilitator as helping family and community. And then there was adequate remuneration, access to healthcare resources, and then information and education about research, which is also an important factor. So briefly, I'd like to share the top themes that emerged among the unique barriers and facilitators to these groups. So not all the groups had some, and that was mainly, we believe, because of the scarcity of data. We're going to focus on the shared barriers and facilitators in the discussion that follows, because we believe that can be, again, leveraged across multiple groups. So for African Americans, the legacy of the Tuskegee study came up as a unique barrier, and having safety assurances was a unique facilitator. For Asian Americans, lack of social support was a barrier that was unique to them, and endorsement from family was a facilitator. And for Pacific Islanders, misrepresentation of community was a barrier, and community mediation was a facilitator. Again, seeing that we didn't have a lot of articles there, but what we had, that's what we saw. So moving on to a quick discussion. There was an overwhelming presence of mistrust in all the four groups, and we believe that this requires for us to address this issue from the very beginning of the research process, even before effective recruitment and enrollment can take place. And lack of information about the general purposes and processes of research, as mentioned by our last speaker, is a really important issue, and this suggests the need to increase basic health literacy of such groups, which may be a prerequisite to addressing the mistrust issue, which was so common. So educational interventional efforts may be developed in a cost-effective manner to be leveraged across multiple racial ethnic groups, given a similar range of mistrust issues that were there across these groups. And such efforts would be more acceptable to many of these study populations if we were to take into consideration the issue of cultural concordance, which was the number one facilitator that we found in all the articles. And this included factors like having recruitment and educational effort in community settings with culturally matched research personnel, linguistically appropriate materials, a personalized recruitment process, and with endorsement from trusted community figures. And we also need to pay special attention to the issues of time and money, especially for the underserved and vulnerable segments of these populations, because this came up as a big issue with this issue of adequate remuneration, because many of these populations likely to lose their jobs if they come participate, can't take time off from work, and then we end up labeling them as non-compliant because they're not doing what we want them to do. So these are important issues to keep in mind. Our findings resonated with a recent systematic review of the literature that was done and published in Health Services Research 2012, the references below there, which found that CBPR is highly successful for recruitment and retention and for intervention outcomes. So this really is consistent with what we also found in our study. So finally, our biggest limitation was lack of equivalent data across the groups, as we mentioned, relative to the scholarship available on white Americans and African Americans. There's little comparable research on Latinos, Asian Americans, and Pacific Islanders. And this really limited our ability to identify and compare barriers and facilitators with the same degree of detail and specificity across all groups. Secondly, there were a number of differences in terms of these groups that was not reflected in the existing literature. So for instance, most of the data that we found was exclusively using women, and not that many men were involved in the research. Language and citizenship issues were not reflected in terms of the differences. The internal diversity of groups like Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders was not there in this literature. And obviously those kinds of differences can make a difference in identifying barriers and facilitators, which may be different for these subgroups. And also, given that the majority of the studies focused on cancer and HIV, there's limited data available on other health conditions that allow for an examination of the nuances that affect how participants decide to participate in different types of clinical research. So we need to have that kind of diversity in there as well. So these are all the limitations that warrant future studies. So in conclusion, leveraging and integrating information about shared barriers and facilitators into the development of recruitment and retention materials and practices are likely to result in more effective and more ethical research recruitment practices to increase the number of multicultural participants in health research. And this would meet our translational research challenges of moving scientific discovery to all Americans. So thank you. These are some of the acknowledgments for the people that funded us.